are welcoming you to Nothing But Net, episode 1 of the Nile Conference. I am your host, Mukbil Yabarow, with my co-host,
Sonny Young.
Absolutely. And this is going to be an exciting time. We have on the line with us Coach Mills, that we will be getting to shortly. She will give us a rundown of everything BAL. Man, Sonny, talk to me, man. How you feeling?
Well, that opening game, I think it really proved, Mukbil, that the hometown team will be a formidable challenge for the teams in Cairo. Man. Al-Hali, they played very well.
They played well is an understatement. 92-74 against CFB. Man, honestly speaking, they showed us exactly what we thought that they had. And it's going to be exciting to see the rest of the games unfold.
And Mukbil, I got to give a shout out for the high scorer on Wednesday. Nuni Omot played his college basketball right here in the USA for Baylor University. Great story. He was born in a refugee camp in Kenya. His family traveled to Ethiopia, and he made his way to the USA, and now back in Egypt, where South Sudan qualified for the FIBA Basketball World Cup. So he could be a star in Cairo.
We have definitely seen a lot of star power from the younger players in the BAL, BAL Elevate players as well. So it's going to be definitely very exciting to see what's going on. But let's get over to Coach Mills in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. Coach, this is the second year in a row you've led a team to the BAL playoffs. Aside from the teams themselves, what have been some of the biggest changes for you from BAL season 2 to season 3?
Well, first and foremost, I'd love to thank Bill and Sonny, you both, for inviting me to be on the show again. I love your coverage of the BAL. So first and foremost, it's a honor to be asked to be on the show. And in response to your question, it's always a privilege to get an opportunity to coach in the BAL. And so I'm very happy to be back again for season 3. And I think the biggest change off the court is really the management of the league itself. I think, you know, every year it gets better, it gets more fluid, more smooth. Kinks are getting ironed out. And obviously, with, you know, COVID now not being an issue like it even was last year, we have a lot more freedom. And that means more fans are coming to the games. We've got more access to different facilities. And I think that helps develop the league in the home market, but also helps expose the league to new fans each year. I also would like to say that the BAL has done an amazing job improving their off-court projects, such as the BAL Advanced Program, which is a program which allows players to learn about branding and marketing, for example, or sports psychology, sports nutrition. And so it's got a really holistic approach, and we didn't necessarily see that in season 2. So this is something they've developed for season 3, which has had a significant impact on the players so far. So for me, I really feel it's even from season 3 to 4, I expect another leap, and hopefully I have the opportunity next year to continue coaching in the league and get to see the development for next year as well.
Coach Mills, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Voice of America. So thank you for joining us from Abidjan. Coach, seeing how you're the only female head coach in the BAL, do you feel like there will be more female coaches in the next few seasons of the league?
Most definitely. And I want to give a shout out to Coach Caddy Diop, who was the assistant coach for Dhaka University last season. So it was great to have another female coach in the competition. And this year there's only me, unfortunately, but I can't tell you how many female coaches reach out to me. And we're talking coaches, female coaches who have been assistant coaches in the NBA, who are really interested in coming across and coaching in the BAL. And so I think it's really just a matter of time before, you know, it's not just me marching up and down that sideline. I'm going to be seeing another female head coach or female assistant coaches in the league. And I think that's what really separates the BAL from any other professional men's league in the world. It's the opportunities for women, not even just in terms of coaching, but you see female referees, game commissioners, officials, commentators, sports journalists. You see them all the way through the BAL operations team. And it's so refreshing for to see something like that and see it be successful. And it's hopefully it's influencing other leagues like the NBA, EuroLeague, etc.
Yes, absolutely. Taking a look at the Nile Conference, Al Ahly and City Oilers are both making their BAL debuts. Al Ahly just beat CFV by 18 points. City Oilers have yet to make their debut. Can you share some insights about each team?
Look, I thought Al Ahly came out really well yesterday. And what's even more exciting for them is their point guard didn't even play. He's a national team point guard, shooting guard, and he's just amazing to watch. So it'll be interesting to see when he rejoins the team in the next couple of games. And Beira, who from Mozambique, they didn't start well, and hopefully we can see them pick it up. But Al Ahly is a team with a lot of experience. Every single local player on that team plays for the Egyptian national team. You've already mentioned Nuni Amut. Corey Webster plays for the New Zealand national team. And Thompson has played in Egypt before and has had a decorated career. So as a club, it's participated in the former FIBA Club Championships, which is basically the BAL before the NBA stepped in. And so this is, even though it's their first BAL experience, it's not their first continental experience. And so they're one of the favorites in the Nile Conference, and they certainly came out strong yesterday. We look at City Oilers. This is a team that was established in 2011 and has gone on to win 8 titles in Uganda. So they've been pretty dominant in their region, especially what we call Zone 5, which is East Africa. And they've won Zone 5 championships as well. And a lot of their players play in the Ugandan national team, which has consistently participated in continental championships like AfroBasket and World Cup qualifiers. So although these two teams are debutants, they definitely come with a wealth of experience. But, you know, the BAL is a completely different club tournament than we've seen in Africa before. So getting used to the bigger stage, the bright lights, and the level of exposure is something that both teams will need to acclimatize themselves to. And City Oilers have got a big task there up against Petro de Luanda, who is another favorite. Let's be honest, they came second last year. They've done amazing job recruiting. And so I think, yeah, City Oilers are getting put in the deep end, and let's see how well they swim.
I like that, coach. How well will they swim? Well, as for the entire BAL, coach, do you think there are any distinct advantages that veteran teams possess over the newcomers? You mentioned Petro, 2022 BAL finalist, very veteran team. Your thoughts?
Oh, exactly. Like they definitely have an advantage, because I think they've been there. They've been on the biggest stage. These stadium, like a lot of these teams have never participated in stadiums like this, never have had the same media exposure like this, haven't played in crowds like this. So when you've got teams who have participated in the BAL before, nothing phases them. Nothing's new. They've been here. They've done that. And I think that's a distinct advantage. But also like teams like Petro, who have been dominant on the continent for the last 20 years, nothing kind of phases this group. And I think, you know, given that they've recruited Atiyah Majok, Solo Diabati from Monastir, who won the BAL, that's only added to the experience on their roster. So I'm really excited to see them play today, and I can't wait for the Al Ahly Petro matchup, because basically we're going to be playing one of them for sure.
No, I honestly like that assessment right there. Al Ahly definitely showed us they are a team to you know, not take lightly, and Petro, we know what Petro brings to the table, but I think you guys will be all right. I think y'all will be good. What are your thoughts on the BAL Elevate program, and can you tell us about Joy Ikuvaja, the BAL Elevate player for the Abidjan Basketball Club?
So Joy is a young man from Nigeria. He is a point guard, combo guard, and he's a stealthy lefty, which, you know, as a coach, you love having a lefty in your pocket. So he's a bright, he's a high character young man, and he's highly coachable. That's the most important thing at his age. And I think he really came in, he was very confident in how he presented himself to the team. And look, he played with Rwanda Reg last year, so he's coming in with experience, and he really did an amazing job slotting in. Now, in terms of the Elevate program across the BAL, it's a really unique project that the BAL have undertaken. You wouldn't see this in EuroLeague or the NBA, but I think it's the right move for Africa. With the NBA Academy, it's important that these young players get an opportunity to play with elite clubs. And although, you know, some of these players, you know, end up just training with a team, just even being amongst men and understanding what a professional men's team does day to day is an experience that will elevate their game, regardless of whether they get on and off the court. You know, eventually I see this project falling away, and we'll just see Elevate kids getting recruited straight out of the academy. And that's what you want to see, what we see in Europe and Australia, where you have academies that feed into senior club teams. And I think it's a great idea by the BAL right now. It's exactly what we need. And, you know, it's showcasing Africa's young talent to the world. And hopefully, you know, this is appreciated, and these young gentlemen get an opportunity that they will thrive in.
Coach, just following up on Muckbill's question, how's the reception? Mm-hmm. How's the reception been from the veteran players on the ABC Fighters for, say, some of the younger players on your team?
Well, look, we are really lucky at ABC to be led by Stephane Kanate, a 43-year-old African legend who's competed in 8 Afrobaskets. He's competed at club championships. He's been there, he's done that. And he's just such a high character leader. Honestly, as a coach, you couldn't ask for a better captain. And how he leads is how everybody follows. And he's taken such great care of Joy and taking him under his wing and really showing him what it takes to, you know, play for how long has Stefan played? 28 years almost.
Wow.
At this level. Okay. He came in as a young 14-year-old. So, and he, yeah, 28 years might be too much. My calculations. Don't trust me on anything. So, you know, when you have a captain like that and he's going to embrace the rookie, everybody else falls into line. And look, one of the big things for me when I was recruiting, even our imports and, you know, working with our locals is high character. I don't care how talented you are. If you're not a high character person, you don't come and play for ABC. And I think for us, it was very easy to embrace Joy and bring him into the fold. And he's a great young gentleman, and he's stepped up and taken the challenge. And we really look forward to him coming back and working with us in Rwanda.
Coach Liz Mills, we want to thank you for joining us on this special VOA BAL podcast. And Coach, I know my colleague Muckbill Yabaro wants to give you some good luck message ahead of the BAL playoffs.
Absolutely. Best of luck, Coach. You definitely have a really strong team, and I'm convinced with your great coaching, you guys are going to do well in Kigali. So best of luck.
Well, thank you. We've got 3 new imports coming in for Rwanda, and let's just say they are extremely elite, and that's really going to help our chances. And we're really excited about going to Rwanda and, you know, shaking things up.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Well, thank you, Coach, and thanks again. And we really enjoyed chatting with you about the BAL.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. And as always, I can't wait till next time.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely. That was Coach Mills for the ABC Fighters. It has been a great conversation. But Sunny,
she has lots of insights, doesn't she? I liked what she said about, you know, that dynamic between the veteran players and the younger players on the team.
This was a conversation that we were having offline about how important it is for veteran leaders to, you know, kind of take these younger players under their wing, because if they don't, you know, some of these younger players might feel a little timid. They have the skill set, as we've seen from majority of the BAL Elevate players. But what is it that you are comfortable in doing if your veterans are not giving you that confidence to let you go ahead and go try that? You know, you might want to go ahead and let that thing fly. So, it's amazing insight from Coach. And I'm excited to see who her imports are going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, we've discussed this, McBill, that sort of kind of controversial when they bring in a seasoned veteran from Europe or the States for that matter, right before the conference play begins. But, you know, they do add a lot, and I'd like to think, I hope they do provide veteran leadership for the younger players on the team.
Yeah, no, I think they do as well. But the difficult thing about bringing on such players this late would be, how is it that they're going to mesh with the team, right? You can have a player that, you know, can really give you 20 and 10, but are they there just to get their points?
Yep.
Or are they there to bring a level of continuity to that team? Team chemistry is huge. Can they be able to play and practice with them for 2 weeks and figure everything out? That's the most difficult part about having imports this late in the league, I think.
Well, I know let's talk about some of the teams in the Nile Conference, McBill. A team I liked when I saw them. I think they played in the first season, Slack from Guinea, Seydou Legacy Athletic Club. I think they have a shot at finishing among the top four. Lots of athleticism on the team, and I think they could pull off a surprise.
It's definitely possible. They just played Cape Town Tigers, so they just lost 75-68.
Okay.
They were leading a very big portion of the game, but unfortunately, the Cape Town Tigers were able to kind of edge them out towards the end. Zaire Wade's first introduction to the league.
How'd he do? Take a look at the stats.
Zaire had 9 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists.
That's a pretty solid game.
It's not a bad start. You know, he's just getting his feet wet. But definitely, he had a lot of help from Joshua Hall with 15 and Evans with 15 and 7 as well. You know, Captain Peter Prinsloo put up about 8-4. So, yeah, they have a very well-oiled machine, you know, the Cape Town Tigers. Unfortunately for them, last season they kind of ran into, you know, some heavy hitters.
And I think when you do win your first game in this type of conference play, it's got to, if it doesn't set the tone, it certainly gives you a confidence boost.
Gives you a confidence boost and also allows you just to kind of get that first win out of the way, right? You don't know what your next games are going to look like. You might go down a stretch where you might not win a game or two. And having that first initial game, you know, it could prove to be either a plus for Cape Town or disastrous for SLAC at the end. So we'll see. As we saw in the conference before, we had 5 teams with the exact same score, same record.
Amazing.
You know, goal difference matters. So every single game matters in these competitions.
Now, I don't have the stats in front of me, McBill, but what our friend Zaire, son of D. Wade, how many minutes did he play in the game? That's a pretty good sign of the kind of trust they have in him.
Zaire played 25 minutes.
Okay.
So just a little under 26 minutes. He was starting or at least coming off the bench and playing amongst, I think, the only other players that had played more minutes than him were maybe the captain and maybe 3 other players. But, yeah, he played about 26 minutes. That's a whole lot of playing time.
That's a pretty good debut.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And for him, I think he'll only continue to get better. I think it's that just being able to get confident, knowing these teammates, some of these other players have played together in the past, in seasons past, and probably on the Cape Town Tigers as well. So for him to get in and just go to training camp with these men and be able to kind of already put up, you know, decent numbers. We'll see what he does in the rest of the games.
McBill, under the current format, and I think I've talked with you about this in past pods, each team is allowed 4 foreign players. Two can be from another African country. So, for instance, Al Ahly, they've got Nuni, who's from South Sudan. He's one of their export players. Do you like that concept of four from outside your home base, so to speak? Or would you rather see maybe it be reduced to maybe two players?
I think the concept works for right now, because without having that, we wouldn't have the excitement behind having a Zaire Wade play for the Cape Town Tigers, right? So to build the excitement around the league and the league kind of being still in its infancy, it works. But I think moving forward, I think they'll get to a point where maybe they have only two imports,
okay,
or something along those lines. I can see it moving that way. But at the moment, I think it works for what it is, because it's adding that value of those abroad players coming in and really, you know, adding that star power, in essence, some former NBA players, some former G League guys, former Division One players from America, or some European players as well. So I think it works for right now.
Well, Zaire's off to a winning start. What other players are you looking forward to as this Nile Conference progresses, Mukbil?
If I were to have to say, I definitely feel like I'd be excited about the young man that you mentioned earlier.
Oh, Nuni.
Nuni is the leading scorer in the league right now with 21 points per game. So I'm definitely excited to see him. Outside of that, you know, I think more so than anything else in any specific players, I think I'm excited to see what Petro does. Petro is going to be playing any minute now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what they do as the runners up from last season. And I think City Oilers, I think I'm really excited just to see what the team can do, you know?
I think they could pull off a surprise. I think, you know, they've played together a while. And sometimes, as you know, Mukbil, it's not always the team with the most talent, but maybe the team that's the most cohesive. And you know, that they know which way their teammates are going to cut on the court.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then also, like, a similar question that we posed to Coach Mills was, like, is there a distinct advantage, right, between a veteran team versus a team that is, it's a debutant team, right? The problem with veteran teams, and I think we saw that with U.S. Monasterios, is that you've been in the league so long now that there's film out there on you. I can go and rewatch tapes about what you guys do well. But if you're a debutant team, for the most part, it's very difficult to find film, right?
Right,
it's just
right.
Not out there. It's just not on YouTube. You just can't just Google, you know, like, hey, let me go find out exactly what it is that these guys do in this type of environment. You can watch their league games, but to see them in this tournament, they might do something different. So I think Stade Malien had that advantage, right, when they came in and were able to top that group. So I'm excited to see if City Oilers can kind of twist it and turn up in their first game.
Now, the Basketball Africa League, we're definitely focusing on that. But I think some of these players, Mukbil, including our friend Nuni, thinking about that FIBA Basketball World Cup. And just one little stat regarding Al Ahly, six of their players were members of the Egyptian national team that qualified for the FIBA World Cup. So lots of experience on that team.
You got experience. You have chemistry. Like you said, I know exactly when this man is about to cut. I don't really have to worry about it. But that level of chemistry, it's very difficult to build it up in a few weeks in training camp. So look to see Al Ahly continue to dominate in that conference.
If we can circle back to the BAL Elevate program, Mukbil, one of the comments Coach Mills made was she sees it being kind of phased out, and that these young men at the NBA Academy Africa will possibly go directly to the NBA draft or other top teams. What do you think about that?
I could see it, you know, as we continue to see the infrastructure of basketball on the continent continues to grow. You know, the BAL Elevate program is an amazing program for right now, but moving forward, we can see players going from that NBA Africa Academy straight to the G League or straight to the NBA. you know, just drafting, because now there's more eyes on it. The NBA right. is locked in and they see what it's like for the development of these players. And I'm telling you right now, just give it a couple, give it a, not maybe like 2 to 3 years. A lot of these players that we're seeing in the NBA Academy will be in the league.
I think yeah. you're right. Yeah. I know at least a couple currently at the NBA Academy Africa might make the next draft in the NBA.
Yeah, no, I could see that. We see the skill set that some of these players have. It was always a lack of opportunity or maybe the eyes that they had on them. And now they have all the eyes, you know, so it's gonna be fun. And a lot of them also are even making the jump from BAL to playing in Division I basketball, such as the young man, the BAL Elevate player for Stade Malien, Ruben Chinyelu, who
Good
will be
point.
Playing for the Washington State University in the next season.
I know the big man from Bamako, Sheck, outside the studio right now. And I think Sheck does encourage these young men. You know, if you can't make it in one of the top professional leagues, which is, let's face it, that's a tough ask to make it to really any professional team.
Right.
That a college or university is a very good option.
See, the thing about it is, a lot of times, if you're unable to take the traditional route, you can still carve your pathway to get to the league, right? So what we see Zaire Wade doing could very well be his pathway to making it to the NBA. He went on the pathway from high school to the G League. Maybe it wasn't as, maybe he didn't kind of do what he wanted to do with that pathway. Didn't get the looks that he wanted to get. But, you know, he's already started off really well. So hopefully this could be his pathway. And then we might see this being a new pathway for young men across not only the continent, but it could be a pathway for players from America as well to come to the BAL and then, you know, carve their way to the NBA through this league.
Let's bring it back to Coach Mills. I did a little Wikipedia research on Coach Mills, yeah. and she grew up playing multiple sports, and she's a big advocate of that she thinks rather than, you know, focus your concentration on one sport. What about you, Muck Bill? Did you play multiple sports growing up?
I played basketball, soccer, football, as it's known elsewhere. I played American football for a little bit, but after freshman year, I think I took a pretty rough hit and I was like, I'm done. I'm staying with my basketball. It's a much safer option. You know, American football, as much as I love to watch it.
It's a high context.
Couldn't
sport.
Do it, man. Couldn't do it. So for me, it's basketball and soccer, known as football elsewhere. Those are my main two sports. I've dibbled and dabbled with baseball here and there, but I'm not really the greatest baseball. But how about yourself, Sonny?
I grew up playing multiple sports, basketball, baseball, a little bit of soccer, okay. not a lot. Yeah. Athletics, you know, running out right. on the track. Yeah. That's a lot of fun.
Right.
But, you know, getting back to the basketball aspect, you have players like, I think including Joel Embiid and Hakeem Olajuwon. They grew up playing football or soccer, as it's known in the States.
You
kind of help your footwork.
You can tell, like, soccer players turn basketball players, their footwork is always amazing.
Yes.
Like you mentioned, the Hakeem Olajuwon's, Joel Embiid. But, you know, guys like Manny Ginobili, right? Argentinian, you know? Tony Parker.
Eurostep.
Right. The Eurostep is a regular occurrence in the league now, thanks to those guys, you know?
Yeah.
So, it really helps with your footwork when you play a game like that, and I think it would be interesting to see how many more players on the continent, young men that just naturally play soccer, because it's such an everyday occurrence. Almost everyone just plays soccer on the continent. You know, we'll see how that'll help their development as it, you know, moves towards the basketball aspect, because the big men, especially 6'9", 6'10", if you have that type of footwork already, man, you're going to be a problem.
And if you're out there thinking about a basketball career, try to find a hoop. Just start practicing your shot, your range, you know, getting outside that arc, you know, that three-point shot, which is so big now in all levels of basketball.
Man, I'm with you, but Sonny, you know how it is. We can always continue to talk more hoops on Nothing But Net with Muckbill and Sonny. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
You know, episode one for the Nile Conference is a wrap, and we will be back for more on episode two with Nothing But Net with Muckbill and Sonny.